Fakakta Comedy Funhouse Network. Everybody, it's The Voice, and I'm back at Drunken Lullaby Studios to bring you episode 105. It is the start of the third year of Drunken Lullabies, and we've got an interesting lineup today. We're doing a little bit of a different show. I figure, why not? It's the third year. Let's get crazy. Let's do something we've never done, and that's exactly what we're going to do. And at this point, there's not a lot we haven't done on this show. So it's good that we can still find ways to surprise you. So, joining me, I don't even know how many times you've been on, but you've been on a few times this year, anyway. Calvin Cosmo Kramer, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
Welcome back to Drunken Lullaby Studios. Last time, you hosted me in your basement.
That is correct.
And now I brought you back to mine. So,
thank you.
It's just, it's nice hanging out in anybody's basement with you drinking beers. It's a,
Blake's
it's a
love
good,
hole.
Yes. Rest in peace, Blake's love hole. I haven't been in Blake's love hole in a while. Have you been over there?
A couple weeks ago.
Do you actually drink downstairs or you stay in the living room with the kids?
Living room with the kids.
That's kind of what I figured. Yeah. You don't drag the newborn to the love hole. That's, I'm not even going to go there. So, and then joining me, I have drank beers with this girl on many occasions in the past, but never for the podcast. So this episode was kind of her idea. She's friends with Calvin as well. Co-workers?
Previous co-workers.
Yeah. You got tired of him, quit, left, moved on.
I just gotta get out of there.
But welcome to the show. Kirsten, don't call me Kristen.
Thank you. That's a good one.
All right. And
excited to be here.
Yeah. And the reason you're here, and the reason for this special episode, we're doing ciders. It's a craft beer wheelhouse that we haven't covered on the show. We haven't drank, I don't even know if we've drank any ciders in 104 episodes. I don't think we have. But they were some of the first craft beers I got into way, way back in the day. Really? And we'll get into that. But that's your drink of choice.
It is. That's pretty much all I drink.
And so you were like, hey, you ever want to do a cider episode? Let me know. And Calvin was like, yeah, I'll do it. And I was like, okay, well, we need one more person. Do you know anybody else that's really into ciders? And you were like, well, Bayhan will drink anything. So
that's nice.
And then, she brought along Matt Bayhan. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, man. Pleasure to be here.
You may be, the Drunkomaniacs at home may be familiar with your voice as well. The voice of 105.7 The X.
Yeah.
The Peoria Rock Authority.
Yeah. 20 years. Hard to believe it's been around 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're celebrating 20 years this year.
I remember the early 99X days back when I was in college. And
it was crazy.
Yeah.
They said alternative rock wouldn't work in Peoria.
Right.
We've kind of proven that wrong, I think, in a lot of ways.
That was back in the days of the Madison Theater.
So many great shows.
Yes, R&D indeed.
Yep.
All right, well, we're going to drink some ciders today. We're going to drink something in that wheelhouse a little bit later, but close enough. But if you guys at home are like, hey, where do you get these cool beers? The answer is at stores and bottle shops. But if you don't have access to a bottle shop but still want to drink good craft beer, an easy solution is to go to craftbeerclub.com and you can sign up for their subscription service. You get a box of beer dropped off at your front door in a nondescript cardboard box. It doesn't say, hey, there's booze in here. Yeah, big alcoholic. And your neighbors aren't going to come over and try to steal it. It's just going to look, it's Christmas time. So it's just going to look like you had a delivery. But you get 12 beers sent to you from two different breweries. They send you two beers from their lineup, and you get three of each beer. So all you got to do, go to craftbeerclub.com, type in the promo code FCF Network. You get 10% off your subscription, plus free shipping. And then you can drink that beer while you listen to this show, and everybody has a good time, because you guys are supposed to be participating in the Drunken Lullabies drinking game. So anytime one of us swears, you have to take a drink. Anytime there's a pop culture reference or an impression, you got to take a drink. And anytime the word of the day is said, you have to take a drink, and we're going to make the word of the day cider. So, oh boy. All you drunkomaniacs at home, you should be tipsy right along with us at the end. But now we're gonna play a drinking game, and it's a little different than what you're expecting. I'm retiring Spin the Bottle. Fear not, Iron Spike still has a relationship with us. They are now the proud sponsor of the spinoff Drunk at the Movies. So we will be featuring Iron Spike beers on Drunk at the Movies. We're just not making people chug anymore. Instead, we're going to have a conversation, play a little game. And this week, the game we're going to play, it is called Don't Laugh. Okay, so the premise of this game is the four of us all wrote on pieces of paper sentences that we think will make the other person break character while reading it. We have to keep a straight face. We can't laugh. We can't smile or waver while reading these sentences. If we do, we have to take a drink. And what we're drinking is from Coney Island Brewing Company. This is the Hard Lemon Lime Twist Citrus Ale. For adults only, just so you know. Like the cool ocean mist on a bright, hazy summer day, Coney Island Hard Lemon Lime Twist Citrus Ale serves up the sensational taste of lemon, lime, and vanilla. 5.4%. Coney Island makes a great hard root beer, so I thought I would give this a shot. It's not a bad summer beverage, but it's now winter, so I need to get them out of my fridge. So, I can be the guinea pig here. We got them shaken up here. If you grab your own, just throw it back and get a different
just
one.
Just slyly put it back.
All right, this is not my handwriting, so here we go. Reading it cold right away. Walter, the Chinaman who peed on my rug, I can't give him a bill. So what the fuck are you talking about? I did it. I didn't break.
Did.
That's a quote from Big Lebowski. And it also will tie in to later in this episode. Some nice reference. All right. Calvin, you go next. And that's also a pop culture reference, so you're helping the listeners at home get drunk now.
You're welcome.
Does that look like your handwriting?
Yep.
Okay.
We knew that happened eventually.
You're entering a world of pain, Larry. Yet another Big Lebowski.
It is. It is. I'm sensing a theme here.
I think we're really excited about one in particular.
Something tells me there's a bit of a bias of what's going on today. All right. Have you seen the new Mary Poppins porn parody? I can't believe I watched Dick Van Dyke fuck a penguin.
Just said it with a straight face. All right.
That's impressive.
Penguin fucking does not make the hand laugh.
Those willing poor, to try. I mean, you know.
Those poor penguins.
Yes.
Wait, I'm laughing at that, not this.
Okay, sure, sure you are.
They're fine.
That was a joke, by the way.
Did you know the state capital of Massachusetts is actually Matt Damon's asshole? How about them apples?
How about them apples?
Wow. Nice work.
All right.
Matt Damon reference, by the way.
Matt Damon. So far, what I'm seeing is we may need to switch this game to the end of the show.
When you've been drinking.
We've all been drinking a bit.
I think that's a good idea.
I have the largest, hairiest, yet beautiful set of testes.
I'm glad I didn't get that one.
Yeah, that would have been bad.
Wow.
So many things could have been said about that. Getting your own, yeah.
Yep. I'll get you a fucking toe.
Again.
Yep.
Sticking with Lebowski.
We're very excited.
We're just fired up, right? Should we put the dude on?
Yeah. Oh,
all right.
And we still haven't done that for Drunk at the Movies yet.
Really?
Yep.
Hold on. When do sandwiches cook? When it's bacon, lettuce, and tomato.
We are striking out today.
Wow.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
That's a fact. I learned about that from Kanye.
Jesus.
Okay, not my handwriting. My biggest regret of 2017 is listening to the new Taylor Swift album.
A little bit of smiling.
A little bit, yeah. I haven't heard it yet. I'll take a drink just because we opened it. And I think we'll all get a taste here at the end, so I may as well just pour some.
Poor T-Swift. Around.
Yeah.
Girl can't get any respect out there.
She's a snake.
Yeah.
My mother used to call me her little queef with a prize.
You laughed.
Yep.
That was a good one.
I gotcha.
Queef is just too funny of a word.
Exactly. All right. Well, Calvin and I each had to actually drink this, but...
Is this Zima?
Hey, I want to try
it. It kind of... Yeah.
Is this no Zima? Ooh.
That color, though.
Yeah, like I said, it's kind of...
It's Zima-esque.
Is it?
Yeah.
I wonder how people who drink Sprite for their hangovers would feel about this. Is that a thing?
Yeah, drink Sprite for hangovers?
Some people do.
Really? It definitely has that vanilla.
That's what I was going to say.
Well, like when you're sick, you drink Sprite or something.
If it didn't have as much vanilla...
That's true. 7-Up Sprite.
Mm-hmm. I could probably drink more of it, but I think that vanilla makes it kind of like one and done.
Mm-hmm.
Because like the Henry's Hard Orange Soda, I'll be honest, I know it's not like quote-unquote craft beer... I can put away a 6-pack of that hard orange soda, no problem.
I don't know if I could have an entire bottle.
I don't mind it.
I mean, it's marginally refreshing, but I don't know about... Yeah, one bottle tops for me, I think, is kind of where I'm at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little sweet, like...
Yeah.
A little cloying there at the end.
I almost feel like I'd have this at a movie theater going to see... Yeah.
Oh, I wish we had those movie theaters. Alcohol and stuff.
Oh, like Alamo Draft House? Yes.
Like someone a vanilla Sprite Peoria, or something. Please.
Well, there's the one in Bloomington you can go to now.
But true story. It's a little, little far.
Yeah, it is.
If you're drinking.
I went and saw the Charlie Day Ice Cube movie, Fist Fight or whatever it was called. Something like that. They played teachers and they got into a fight after school. I saw that there because Logan was sold out. So that was my consolation prize. All right, so we're doing an episode based on ciders. Drink. What's a cider, you say? Well, a cider is an alcoholic beverage made of fermented juice from apples. The juice of any variety apple can be used to make cider, but cider apples are best. The addition of sugar or extra fruit before a second fermentation increases the ethanol content of the resulting beverage. Cider is very popular in the UK. You may have heard it referenced in that fantastic Chumbawamba song. But we here in America, we call it hard cider because we drink traditional apple cider a lot in the fall. It's totally different. Hard cider is going to have alcohol in it. Cider alcohol content varies from 1.2 to about 8.5 or more in traditional English ciders and 3.5 to 12% in continental ciders. So according to UK law, a cider must contain at least 35% apple juice.
That's interesting.
In the U.S., there is a 50% minimum.
Oh.
Wow.
So,
I'm surprised.
How about them apples? But there are many, many different types. Like I said, it's a drink all around the world, but it's definitely popular in England as well as here. And we're going to start. This one is from One Tree Hard Cider, and this is the Caramel Cinnamon, which is 6.8%, grandma's apple pie in a glass, great on its own, and amazing over ice cream. This is what apple pie should taste like. This is an all-American classic with real cinnamon and caramel married with Washington apples. You're welcome, America. and they're out of Spokane Valley, Washington.
It's a good sized bottle.
Yeah, we got a bomber for this one. Some of the others are single bottles, so we can get a little bit of a generous pour on this one to kick things off.
Where's it
off.
Out of again? What'd they say?
Spokane.
Yep. One tree. You're telling me you didn't even bring vanilla ice cream down for us for
I'm sorry. We could do a float.
I could have done that.
Is that what you're...
I should have brought the ice cream.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Way to go,
well,
Matt.
I could have read the bottle. Dick.
Yeah, you got the bottle. You should have been the one. Although, have you guys had an alcoholic root beer float?
Yes.
You have to eat that fast or else, so I feel like it'd be the same with this.
True.
Yeah.
Have I do enough? I take too much?
Oh, no, we're good.
All right.
Polish it off.
The flavor profile, if you really couldn't figure it out, apple, sweet, cinnamon, warm, and smooth. Now, that's one thing about ciders that regular beer, you're not going to want to drink that room temperature or warm at all. But some hard ciders, depending upon how apple-y they are, you probably could drink them warm, and they wouldn't taste that bad.
Yeah.
Which, that's
true story.
A little different. You know, stouts, you can drink those a little more room temperature. You don't want them hot, though.
Right.
Nobody wants a hot stout. That just sounds gross.
Not hot, but...
Yeah.
55 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'll just open, like, my Founders Breakfast Stouts room temp.
Really?
Yeah.
Just keep them in the basement?
Yep.
So they're a little cold.
Where did you find this one, Kevin?
Friar Tuck.
It's pretty good.
Yeah,
it's
I like it.
Yeah, I like it. It's got a nice
I've never heard of it.
Little kick, but good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the first time I drank ciders would have been back in college. Hornsby was my go-to.
Okay.
At the time, it's got like a rhino on the label. I have since had one, and it's like, man, how did I drink a six-pack of these in one night? Moved on to Woodchuck after.
I love Woodchuck.
That's Woodchuck is still a good one.
Been on a long time.
Woodchuck. Angry Orchard is a pretty popular one. And they've got variations. Like before, it was just, you had the one.
Yeah.
Like the traditional dry or whatever. But now there's so many different variations, and they have seasonal releases that, yeah, they've really expanded the cider game big time. And, you know, it tends to be a very popular drink with female beer drinkers. I mean,
hey.
Yeah. And I'm, you know, not saying that in a, you know, quote unquote sexist way. It's just factual. Like if you look at the statistics of who buys ciders, it is predominantly a female market. But like I said, I've drank my fair share for sure.
That's something I'm not really into, but I figured I was kind of like Bayhan. I'll drink anything, and the podcast is always a fun time, so.
Yeah.
I've had my moments with ciders. It's weird. I don't know what it is. It's just like when Woodchuck came out. Oh, what year was that? God, was that years ago?
Yeah.
I went through a little Woodchuck phase. Man enough to admit it. I don't know why. I just went through a phase of it. Didn't mind it. But I'm a sweet tooth, right?
So, right, exactly.
I mean, part of my problem is one reason why I drink liquor the way I do.
Mm-hmm.
I sound like Dean Martin over here. But it's just... Sweet tooth, I don't mind the cider, but I can't drink it all night. I have one or two, and then I'm usually downshifting.
Well, you know, we made comments off air about needing Tums after drinking so many different ciders, and there's truth to that. It's very acidic, and much like drinking a lot of sours, it will start to catch up with you if you drink too many of them, and that's why if I buy a six-pack, it'll last me a while because I just drink one at a time, and just a... Change up your palate, you know.
Right.
You can't drink hazy, juicy, hoppy, dank IPAs all night long. Sometimes, I mean, you can.
Yeah.
And I have.
But the problem is the Triptych beers just run out too fast.
That's true.
That's why I can't drink.
And I'm pissed because I didn't get any of the Wizard.
Oh, I should have brought a can.
That somebody went to Broadway the other day and bought like three of the like five that they got.
I did not.
Because I was like, was it Szymanski and Hippie? And they're like, no, there's like three other guys. They came in and they all bought one. And I was like, I need to know who these people are that are they're dipping into my Triptych supply.
I thought
it was a nice kept secret.
I went on Friday at lunch.
And got I got the last one.
They had them on the counter, you know, like they usually do. And I said, can I grab a four pack of that now? Because I'm going to go walk around.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling it's going to be gone when
right.
I come check out. It was gone when I came to check out. So he's like, how did you get that? We're like out. He's like, well, I grabbed this when I first came in because I had a feeling it was going to go.
Yep. It's on currently when we're recording this at the Fox, but it's yeah, it's gonna be gone probably Tuesday. So sorry about you if you didn't get to try any of it. But
do you work on Tuesday?
I do. We'll see.
Shifty.
No, it won't so be.
We
the shifty.
Used to be out that way. We were going to the Fox for some lunch brews.
Mm.
Had to get us through the workday.
Well, yeah, you guys worked, right over by the Limelight, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. ARC works out there, too.
Oh, nice.
Haggerty.
Good friend of the show, ARC. So how long did you guys work together before you left?
Like a year and...
year and a half, almost.
Yeah, almost a year and a half.
Oh, okay.
But before that, we were Bradley
alums.
Friends. Yeah. Well, we switched majors right at the same time, so we had all of our advertising classes together. So literally every single class I had with Calvin.
Every single group project, we picked the same groups because we knew who to trust.
Right.
Right.
Because I hate group projects in college.
Who really likes group projects?
Well, it's not accurate. If you were at a job and someone was doing no work and you went to your boss and were like, hey, I'm doing literally all of this, then I'd have to be like, well, you gotta have to make it work. That's not going to happen.
No.
Yeah.
But, you know, it gives you insight into how things work
yes.
when you become a quote-unquote adult.
Well, it was nice when's having Calvin.
Yeah. I don't know.
I have a career that doesn't require that at all.
Yeah.
It was nice.
Yeah. I don't know. I just looked at my toilet today. I was like, wow, my toilet's super clean. And it went, holy crap, that's an adult thing to think. Backtracked.
You woke up this morning and evaluating your toilets.
I was admiring how clean it was.
Was your head like resting on the seat?
No.
Did you go out last night?
Thank God.
Oh, thank God this was clean.
No. Well, but I have been there before. We've all been there.
Mm-hmm.
But not last night.
Yeah.
Not last night.
You're drinking out of a Poor Brothers glass.
I am.
I'm drinking out of a Bears pint glass because they're currently playing the Packers and I think losing. Calvin, what'd you grab?
White Oak.
Nice choice. Or friends over in Normal. And Matt, what did you go with?
I went with the traditional, looks like to be, DC Comic 19, almost throwback 60s, 70s Batman.
It's Neil Adams did the art on that.
I grew up being a huge lover of the 60s Batman TV series.
Oh, yeah.
And I see it over here in your collection, by the way.
I've got the classic series. Yes. I've got all the animated.
With Adam West, Burt Ward.
I've got the movie.
Tremendous.
I have an autographed Adam West biography.
God bless
upstairs.
Adam West.
Yes.
We lost him this year.
That actually is an RIP. We make a lot of joking RIPs on this show, but yes, that was my Batman.
One thing people don't know about him is that when they did the reboot of Batman, when Michael Keaton did the Batman, he was pissed that he didn't get a credit.
Wasn't even considered.
He was really upset, wrote a big, huge article about it. Yeah. Can you imagine him recasting that?
In a Tim Burton. Well, I mean, Tim Burton's kind of out there, but I don't know if he's that out there.
Yes.
So we mentioned Poor Brothers because they hooked us up with this beverage.
Thanks, Nate.
Yeah, this is the Dude's Rug.
My favorite. I was like, we didn't find it and beg someone to track it down.
Yeah,
it's a wonderful name.
Thank you, it's Poor Brothers.
Yep. It is a hard cider with tea and chai spices added. It's from Bee Nectar, which. We've had several Bee Nectar beers on our another friend from Poor Brothers, David.
Yep.
When he sat in on Drunk at the Movies, Evil Dead, he brought the Necromangocon, which was a mead, and that was from Bee Nectar. And this says, okay, so you're a cider. I'm a cider. That's terrific. But this is not just any cider. This is the Dude's Rug. For a spiced chai cider, it really chai'd the room together. Amateurs could not pull off the perfect blend of black tea with cardamom, clove, cinnamon, and ginger. They'd be out of their element. So, if you want to be an achiever, drink this cider and abide. There's so many references in the description.
Now they know why we had so many big
references. We're going to be some Lebowski achievers here and drink this. And they've got the bowling ball. With the rug.
It's good. That's good artwork on that thing.
Oh, that's definitely got a different nose on it.
So you haven't had this one?
I have not.
This is literally my favorite cider ever. I found it randomly at Hy-Vee one time.
Okay.
This size, the Bomber, and haven't found it since. But now some places like Time and Poor Brothers have it, so I can still get my fix.
Okay.
I'm still finishing my other one. I'm going to have to catch
up. When did you first find this one?
That was about a year and a half ago.
Okay.
A year and a half ago, and you didn't tell me about it till like
a month ago. We didn't have it where you could just go get it. Now you can just go get it. I think Poor Brothers has this just in the case, and sometimes it's tapped, but it's always in the bottle, so that's good. Yeah. I've actually gone to this meadery on accident.
Oh, really?
Yes, I was at my last job. Our home office is up near Detroit, and I was on a work trip, and some coworkers invited me to trivia night. And the place they normally go was later than they wanted to wait, so we went to this other place, and we go in, we sit down. I see the dudes drunk on the menu, and I get really excited. They're like, this is the place that makes it. And I, like, look around and I'm like, oh, my gosh, we're at the actual meadery. So I was happy. I was trying everything I could, and they're like, you should take some home. I'm like, I flew.
Yeah. She went to the source without knowing.
I know. I didn't even register it. I didn't know they were right there.
Yeah.
It's got a unique flavor to it, though.
Mm-hmm. It does.
Ferndale, Michigan.
If I liked chai more, yeah. I'd like I this love better. But
yeah, it says sweet apple, clove, spicy, and tea. And it currently available at the field house. I was just there the other day.
That's good to
saw
know.
It up on the board.
That's really? Good to know.
And I was like, oh, we're going to be drinking that on the show in a couple days.
Bottles
so.
Or tap?
Leave know. Tap.
Okay.
That's awesome.
And then it says available at Poor Brothers, and now it's available at Drunken Lullaby Studios because we're drinking it here. But we had it at the Fox like a week or two ago.
Yeah.
But I didn't try it because I usually just stick with what's on the free menu when my shift is done.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
Unless it's like the weekend, and then I drink, you know, and I can drink whatever I want. Yeah. But
because when I drank it with you, 2 weeks ago, it was like 1:30 in the morning.
Was that when you guys were at Poor Brothers?
Yeah. Yes. and I don't recall a lot of that evening.
That's close when she nominated you to do the show.
Yeah, and that was good. I recall that. Yeah, that part.
See, briefly. I asked him while I was already drinking, so he was like, sure.
The night of our Foo Fighters stuff we were doing, and then we ended up there. It was great.
So they just played Champagne.
Yes.
And I assume you were at that show.
Yeah, we took a whole busload of radio contest winners over.
Nice.
So it was good.
And the bus broke down. On the way back. At least it was on the way back.
Yeah.
That all was well, though.
But what time did they get back? Like, officially?
It was pushing 3:34 in the morning. Yeah. Well, the Foo Fighters played nearly, I think, about 2 hours, 50-some-odd minutes.
Well, I saw them in St. Louis during the Wasting Light Tour.
Yeah.
Rise Against opened in Mariachi El Bronx, and even with two openers, they played 2.5 hours.
Oh my gosh.
It was great, though. I loved every minute of it.
It was weird, because it's like, people are like, describe Foo Fighters Live, and I was like, it reminds me a lot of, I'm an old school Springsteen guy, so it's like, it reminds me a lot of Bruce, because people are like, well, people don't understand Springsteen, they're like, well, you've never seen him.
Yeah.
You know, if you see Bruce, you get it. Because the dude never leaves the fucking stage.
Yeah.
That's why I call him the boss.
3 hour long show and it flies by.
Yeah, and it rolls
just hit after hit.
Yeah. But Taylor Hawkins, I thought, stole the show.
Nice.
The guy
Did he sing lead on anything?
A couple songs.
Okay.
And I thought Grohl was really gracious because he kind of let him be the star.
Okay.
In a way.
Yeah.
And Dave's kind of tired of being Dave. You know, unless Taylor do his thing and Pat Smear and those guys.
Oh, Pat
I don't
want to
be a radio
great.
Nerd here now because I go on for an hour about the Foo Fighters.
Oh, no, so I that's part of the show is
right.
It's about craft beer and music.
Sure.
You know, I ran Co-op Records for a decade, so.
Yeah.
And
so I thought you'd like it.
Yeah.
No, it's, I love it. Thank you for letting me be here. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. And we have some episodes that music is what we talk about more than the beer, typically when I have a band on with me. But then other times it's just a nice mix of both. But yeah, I was bummed I missed out on that show. I had to work. So
speaking of that, the guy who did the Tom Sawyer.
Yeah, yes. They pulled the guy out of the crowd to sing Tom
I've actually
Sawyer.
Tailgated with that guy.
No shit.
His name's Mike Carpenter.
Okay.
I've tailgated with him at DMB shows before.
Some people
it seemed a little too polished.
Yeah, because some people are like, it seemed like that was a ringer and that was put on, but apparently.
Could be, because I think, I've seen his, you know, I think I'm Facebook friends with him.
Okay.
And he has pictures of him, playing guitar and singing, so it's not, just some random guy that doesn't know how to sing at all.
Well, and
Green Day did that, too.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah.
They usually pull people up to play Knowledge or, I'm trying to think what the other one, I don't know. But, yeah, they usually go for the Op Ivy cover, and they pull people out and, you know how to play bass? It's really easy for this song, you know, and they'll have the whole band, usually kids. And you know that's they're trying to start the next generation of Green Days.
Right.
Every show
they're
they do
that.
And
that,
it's cool to see. Sometimes, you know, those things may go on a little longer. you could have played two songs. You know, but
don't they let them keep the guitar usually,
I think so, yeah.
I think that's awesome.
It is very cool. I mean, the only thing I know is about Foo Fighters here tonight, and obviously being a radio nerd and loving everything they've done for 20-some-odd years now, it's like, wow, holy shit, they have that much material.
Yeah.
You know, because you think, when you think about Foo Fighters, like, okay, you know, they're everybody knows like at least 10 to 12, right, of the biggest, mm-hmm. but you're like, oh my God, there's another one, there's another one, there's another yep. one. But they did the, you know, the Rush thing, and they did, mm-hmm. they ended up doing
a few covers. I looked at the set list, and yeah. I was like, man, that was a good one.
And they're yeah. pretty huge in Europe, too, I think. Like, they've...
I've got the Wembley DVD over here somewhere.
Yeah. Rock music in Europe is still...
Yeah. It's like a 100,000 crowd, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And he,
didn't
you know,
say like Biffy Clyro does stadium shows?
Biffy Clyro in Europe is a huge deal,
and nobody knows who they are.
No
here.
One gives really two fucks here,
except Andrew from Jugs Delaney. Loves that band.
And
I was geeking out with him the other day when I saw him.
He was Biffy's here last. Band. He was here last Biffy. Weekend.
I've been into Biffy
not
since
Biffy,
2010.
But Andrew was. And
well, we're working on, ironically enough, trying to get Biffy in for it. We almost thought we had a Peoria date with him. It fell through.
Cross your fingers.
We're working on trying to bring in, you know, more eclectic acts as much as we can. On the radio side.
Excellent. So,
yeah.
Well, I think this will lead into our first song break of the show. Every week we've got a different band of the week. And this one, it's kind of near and dear to my heart. I figured I would kickstart the third, quote-unquote, season of Drunken Lullabies with a bang. My first ever rock concert was at the Peoria Civic Center my freshman year of high school, and it was DC Talk during the Jesus Freak tour, the absolute pinnacle of their career. And one of the guys from the band, he's now a solo artist since like 2001. He was kind of the outcast of the group, the poet, the weird one, but Kevin Max, and he's a solo artist now, lives in the Franklin, Nashville, Tennessee area, and he's got a new covers EP that came out earlier this year that's called Serve Somebody, and we're going to play his cover of one of my favorite 80s songs. So here is Kevin Max with Kiri here on Drunken Lullabies. Find myself again.
prison down the road that I must travel.
All right. And that was Kevin Max with Kyrie. Every time I see a Keurig machine, that song pops into my head. Just a random thought. But I start...
It's going to for me now. For yeah. How you said
yes,
that.
You ruined That's it.
Right. I just... Every time I see him, I'm like, Keurig is on this road.
Well, think about the guy in Mr. Mister, the lead singer of that band.
Yeah.
He is in Ringo Starr's all-star band and okay. sings with Ringo and tours with Ringo.
Nice.
There's a...
Fun Point fact.
Pointless shit right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a Beatles nerd, so there
you go. We were talking, you know, 80s song. That's one of my favorite 80s tracks. Another favorite of mine would be Your Love by The Outfield. That's one of my favorites. And Eddie Money's classic Take Me Home Tonight with Ronnie Spector on background vocals. Those are probably three of my favorite 80s. Like, if...
Top 40.
If you're doing pop 80s, yes. Like, yeah. If we're doing alternative or rock or metal, totally going different list. But if I'm talking radio 80s music, those are three I go for sure. So this is a beer we've actually mentioned on this show before, but we've never drank it. And it's 6.5% from Blake's Hard Cider Company, which for a long time was not distributed around here, but... Right. Recently brought to the area within the past year. This is the Flannel Mouth Cider. It is gluten-free, which a lot of ciders are.
Most are, yeah.
Because when I've had people contact me, like, hey, what are some good beers that I can drink that don't have gluten in it? I'm like, well, do you like ciders? And they're like, no, I actually want, like, beer. I'm like, it's going to be a tougher one.
This is a more beer-esque cider to me, though. Like, this isn't super sweet. I mean, it still has that apple flavor, but it's not in-your-face sickly sweet, I don't think.
Is this one of the dry ciders, or what they call, like, dry ciders?
In a world of hard ciders, this is the smooth talker, which that's actually... That's
what Flannelmouth means.
The one who throws out compliments to complete strangers, crafted from hand-picked apples from our own trees... Flannel Mouth has just enough sweet to make the other beers blush.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
This is also up sounds here like Detroit a radio commercial. Too.
Right?
One of my friends, I guess, lived right next to this orchard.
Really?
And they'd like play in there because I said I liked the Flannel Mouth by Blake Cider. And she's like, my parents literally live right there. I was like, what? I'm like, can I come visit you and just like frolic through the apple orchard?
Frolic.
But you know it's not alcoholic at that point.
I know, but you know.
You're just running around amongst fruit. You could do that at Tanner's.
I could drink before.
Okay. Yeah. I would encourage that
if you're more entertaining.
Frolicking in an orchard. I would hope you're drunk.
I can't say I've ever frolicked in an orchard before. But I
have. Where have you frolicked, Matt?
On the campus of Illinois State University.
Okay.
Naked.
Ew, why? Bear. Why?
I had a feeling that was coming.
Wait, at what time of the year?
It was December.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I figured it'd be cold.
Yeah. It was a dare, and my roommates are assholes, so...
was it Jake?
Jake was nearby, yeah. So I did that. Yeah.
All right.
I ran back to my apartment at 707 South University, right next to University Liquors.
Okay.
On the ISU campus.
Did they have something to do with this?
No.
No?
Well, alcohol, of course.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know why I went to that. I'm sorry.
That's poor decision.
So where were your spots in the Bloomington Normal area that you frequented?
Wow,
frequented
back in the college days.
Yeah.
So it's been a while ago, sadly, because I'm not the age I wish I was anymore. So back then it was the Pub 2, which was
still Pub 2.
Yeah, and it was a little place when I first got there, and then they expanded that.
Lines around the block, certain days of the week.
Right, that was the place. There were multiple places at that time. There was a place called Shanigan's back in the old days, Rocky's in the old days. Those places are gone now. They're all torn down for the Kids Museum there now.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it's weird. It was ISU back then.
So it was right by the Amtrak.
Yeah, right there.
The whole Firehouse Pizza's there now.
Yep.
Great spot.
Maggie Miley's used to be a different bar back then?
Maggie Miley's used to be a Jimmy John's.
Oh, okay.
So they used to be Jimmy John's and like nothing there really. And now Maggie Miley's is, of course, taking that whole block or that corner block. So we didn't have like the hipster fun.
Okay.
I mean, don't get me wrong. The bar scene back then, we didn't know any different, right? It was great.
Right. And now there's soon to be three breweries in town that you can go to that, you know, I always say the ISU college kids, much like the U of I college kids, They've got so much better than back in the day when we were that age. You went to the sports bar and you drank domestic beer. And
right.
Back then, that was it.
And I brought my roommate a couple times, my buddy Jake, who got into craft beer, love affair very early on. He made his own beer for years, still does. And so we were, in those days, one of the only people we knew anyway. Mm-hmm. We'd be like, hey, we're having a party tomorrow night. And he'd have his own, you know, batch of stuff for everybody to drink.
Yep.
And it was pretty great, looking back on it. Hey, Jake, I'm shouting out to you, buddy. He's in San Diego right now.
That's Spanish for whale's vagina.
Really?
Mm-hmm. According to Anchorman.
Oh.
Come on, really?
I was like,
get with it, Kirsten.
Come on, Kirsten. I'm that person that doesn't watch the movies.
You've never watched Anchorman?
I've seen it, but I don't know it well enough.
Unique New York.
To know all the lines.
Yeah.
I'm more of like...
So you've never experienced like jazz flute than...
The fire coming out of the flute.
Yeah. You need to see Anchorman. You would be horrible at the Drunken Lullabies drinking game because
you
should be twice as drunk as you are because you don't realize we're quoting things.
Fucking Brick killed a guy.
Yeah. Well, the boy that escalated quickly, that meme, that's what that's for.
Oh.
Yeah.
I love Lamp. That's about it. I love Lamp.
Dirty whorish mouth. I mean, it goes on.
You have a delightful hiney.
Yes.
I want to be friends with it.
It goes on.
Yeah,
the second Anchorman was a travesty, sadly.
Yeah.
I didn't watch that because...
And it was like 3 hours long. I'm like, come on, Will. I can do better.
Well, and the first one had a whole second movie that they released straight to DVD.
Yeah.
And
they waited too long.
Yeah.
It's like when they did the next Dumb and Dumber.
Oh,
what was the horrible at that point? Nobody cared.
Horrible.
Yeah. Jim Carrey's now creepy and weird and killing girlfriends and shit. It's weird. So.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I loved his early stuff, though. Like Liar, Liar and The Mask.
Well, what we've learned in the last few days is that everybody in Hollywood is exposing themselves and touching themselves and being weird. And
yeah.
I mean, the Louis C.K. thing's out there. So.
And who knows what's coming out next.
Oh, yeah. Half of Hollywood is in shambles by the time this is released.
I'm going to go be an actress because no one's going to be left in Hollywood anymore.
You sure want to go there?
It's safer now. No guy is going to show me his junk now.
Really? Have you been on social media?
I wouldn't count on it.
I will just call him out on it immediately.
What I'm waiting for is like the accusations to like non-celebrities, because why are they being like left out? Like,
oh God,
this guy named Tony that I knew 5 years ago, he totally did this to me. Like, I'm not seeing any of that shit.
I streak naked at ISU, right? So yeah. I'm guilty.
He probably scarred some people.
Probably.
I just saw a maintenance guy. I think I saw.
Well, it's just
he
weird.
Had to retire.
Yeah.
Like he got PTSD every time he was mopping that floor.
He had flashbacks.
Yeah, flashbacks.
Frightening.
I think a lot of women are used to it, which is sad.
But that's a whole other topic.
Right.
It's just sad they're used to it.
But even I am, you know, someone adds you on Snapchat and you're like, okay, it's cool. And like a day maybe goes by and you already get a penis pic. And you're like, whoa.
That's the thing though.
I did not ask or want this.
Guys, 10 years ago, I swear we've said this on the show before. It's not a good look.
No, I didn't mean it's a good thing.
And nobody wants that.
But who's reinforced? Like, who has put this in their head? Like, they totally want you to send that.
Because somewhere in that brain decision,
like,
you're going,
yeah.
You know what? She's really going to dig me after I send a picture of my wang.
How is this happening?
I don't know any woman alive that's jumping up and down about a penis.
Well, we just watched an episode of How I Met Your Mother, and they were talking about, like, different moves, and the one guy had a move called the Naked Man, where like he would ask when he thought the date was tanking,
right.
He would ask to go upstairs to use the restroom, and then she would like go in another room and would come back, and he is just totally naked doing the Captain Morgan on the like ottoman or whatever.
And you would just be like, what?
And he goes, it works 3 out of 4 times. And they're like, no.
Wow.
Or 2 out of 3 times. That's what it was.
Yep.
Because then Ted and Barney both decided to try it. Yeah. So
I'm gonna call BS on that.
Yeah. Oh, I don't encourage anybody doing that.
The sad common denominator of all this is
alcohol.
It makes you wonder just how much alcohol is involved on a regular basis. But you know, men behave badly.
Yeah,
just a TV
that was
show.
A TV show with Rob Schneider. I remember
Schneider.
Rob Schneider. Wow.
I heard of him
interviewed
for a while.
Him once
when he was a jukebox.
Fun?
Yes. Yeah.
Was that fun?
He wasn't real pleasant.
Oh, really?
I hear that about a lot of those. That
like
level
bothered.
Of people that come to do comedy.
They're just not that impressed.
Well, that's the sad thing about it. Like, you know, you meet celebrities
career.
And you meet musicians. And, you know, in my world, I've met some folks I never in a million years thought I would meet. But you're let down a lot.
Yeah.
And it's too bad. And I get it, though. Their schedules are awful.
Right.
And the last thing they want to do is have to squeeze in an interview with radio or TV. And so I kind of get it. You know.
On the flip side, rather than calling anybody out for being disappointing, who have you talked to that was refreshing? And you were like, that went so much better than I even expected it to. And, you know, whether you guys kept a working relationship with the station over the years. Because, I mean, let's be honest, if you talk to a band and they're cool with you and you're cool with them, that's going to work in their favor.
Yeah.
Like, it does them no good to be assholes.
Right.
And they have to be aware that. It's just some bands don't care.
Right.
They don't care, and they don't realize it either. I think a lot of times exhaustion, and I hate to say it, but, you know, drug abuse, alcoholism is prevalent in some cases. And so you have guys who don't even know, some in some cases, what they have done. But our job, too, is also to... protect. I hate to say that, but sometimes I don't even play back an interview or say something that happened, because I'm like, you know, it's not going to benefit anybody to trash them because they're having this or that go on. But a pleasant surprise, or a great friend of the station, we have a lot of them, but Corey Taylor is absolutely probably one of the very best. Kirsten knows this.
He came and did our tornado relief. Like, he called us.
Oh, okay.
Four years ago.
With a tornado relief.
Midwest guy.
Yep.
Yeah. And
you know, granted, he wore a scary mask when he was in Slipknot and puked on stage and everything, but, you know, Midwestern people are typically
super
a little
funny,
friendly.
Super quick
kind.
Story, and not to beat a dead horse on this.
No,
we were trying to put together as many as we could, because we did a tornado relief concert. Mm-hmm. We canceled Nutcracker after the tragedy of the tornado, and we turned into a tornado relief concert at the Civic Center. We had 17 bands.
And this was a few years ago.
2014.
The Washington tornado, like 2013.
So we decided to take all profits of that and give it to the Red Cross and donate all profits. So we were calling every band, every artist we could, and POD and a whole bunch of other bands came in, and they were already booked. And we reach out to everybody. I mean, I was talking to Eddie Vedder's people, and, and he was like, if he didn't have this and that, he would have considered it. Because no one was making money. It was all about charity.
Right.
And I got a phone call from Corey Taylor. I was in my kitchen, like, you know, making food on a Tuesday night. This is 2 weeks before the concert.
Mm-hmm.
And my phone rings from some Iowa phone number. And I'm like, who the hell is this? And I'm like, hello? Matt, hey, Corey. I'm like, Corey.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, I heard about the I heard about the tornado. I heard about what's going on. He goes, don't fucking worry about it. Give me a bottle of booze. I'm coming in with my wife and my best friend, and I'm playing the show.
Okay.
Don't worry about me. I'll be there. And he did. He came in.
He was awesome.
And he played for like an hour and a half and didn't charge us a penny and literally gave him a bottle
of booze. Was this solo or was this like, it wasn't Stone Sour or anything?
Him and an acoustic guitar.
Okay, cool.
And it was so great to go on the radio the next day. He did an interview with us the next day on the air, and I was just like, look, man, I'm from the Midwest. I'm from here. When my band was starting, I was coming to Peoria all the time.
Yeah.
And he goes, it wasn't for the support I had in Peoria, just like Des Moines, we wouldn't be where we were. So you're really like, you know, musicians are amazing because that's the hearts are huge. And that's, Corey's that guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's one of the ones we...
Like Hailstorm's like that too.
Hailstorm's like that.
That was another one I was going to bring up.
Yeah.
Because
Shinedown's been great over the years.
Hailstorm did a signing at Co-op. I got them to come down right after the first album came out.
Yeah.
You guys were pushing the shit out of them because they were, I mean, it was popular.
Yep.
And they hit this area hard. Like, they were here and they were back like 3 weeks later.
Yeah.
And then like 2 months later after that, they were opening
everywhere.
At the Civic Center for somebody, and it was really cool, and they were just genuinely nice people. Their mom, Beth, was like the road manager, and it's like, oh, the whole family's on the bus.
Yeah, we booked them at the Heart of Illinois Fair in 2004. I used to be heavily involved with booking entertainment at the fair when the stations were all out there, and we still are out there quite a bit. But so it was like we went through this rock thing at the fairgrounds where we were booking bigger shows.
Yeah.
And it was weird. I stumbled upon their... you know, they're single, and called their agent up and everything, and they were like $500 to bring it come
That's
in.
It. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
And they came in, and the next thing you know, voila, the rest is history. So
Yeah.
Great people. She's a sweetheart.
I love Lizzie.
Total sweetheart.
She has the best shoes too, by the way.
Well, when I saw her, she had like custom high top, like knee-high chucks.
She has the coolest shoes
and,
all the time.
RJ, fantastic live drummer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. Smart ass.
Her brother.
Wise ass.
Yeah, he puts on a show.
He's good. Very talented.
All right. Well, we're going to let you guys listen to another song while we finish up our flannel mouth before we crack open another one. So here's a slightly older song from Kevin Max. This is from 2015, his album Broken Temples. This one is called When We Were Young. I like the lyrics on this one. It kind of talks about things are a little simpler and not as, quote-unquote, fucked up, you know, if we could just go back to how things were when we were young and the way we thought. So we're going to get a little heavy here. We were kind of talking about penis exposure and whatnot. So tie it all together and enjoy when we were young here on Drunken Lullabies.
No prejudice, no tone or color, no border lines, just sisters and brothers through our eyes. It's all the same, so innocent, so unashamed. When we were young, when we were without fear, without a doubt, belief so pure, not turned around, literally free of sarcasm, wide open.
Gingerly opened that one. This is from Ace, the hardware store. They are now dabbling in ciders, apparently. The Ace Berry Cider is a premium hard cider made in the heart of Sonoma County's apple orchards. Ace Berry is a mixture of raspberry, blackberry, and strawberry juice added into our fermented apple cider. Enjoy this exhilarating alternative to beer or wine.
Yeah, that's great radio copy. Yeah, we can just be writing commercials right now.
Well, we haven't even got to the sponsor spotlight yet. You're going to hear a commercial. All right.
It rolls, I get it.
So this is, I don't think I've had this one either. I've had the Ace Pear, the pear one, the Ace Pear.
I've had pineapple, but I don't know if I've done this. It was like blackberry.
And, yeah, I don't.
It's a good pour. It's a good pour.
There
it's
you very go. Audible. Are we even?
Yes, good? We're good.
Even Steven. So yeah, this is the California Cider Company.
Ooh, that's really sweet.
I feel like we could say that about all of them that we're drinking. But yeah, a little bit more so.
Yeah. Even sweeter.
Yeah, Ace, they've got a pineapple, they have a pumpkin.
I feel like the pineapple's been the Fox before.
The Ace Perry, that's the one I was talking about. They've got a Steve Perry. That's a totally different one. Space Bloody Orange. I've had their apple cider. And then they have an apple honey. They have a pear cask. So, I mean, they're doing some different stuff. Honey cider with chili peppers. Now, what are your thoughts on that? Ooh. Chili peppers and apple cider just don't seem like those would go together for me.
Mm-mm.
That's that does sound like a weird combo, but I'm willing to give it a taste.
Right. Yeah.
Why not? Never know.
The color on this is...
I thought blue.
It's got, yeah, it's got a little bit of a tint to it compared to, I mean, like the flannel mouth, that was very much translucent, but this has got, yeah, a little bit of a...
Almost looks like a...
tint.
Well, coming from a beer background, like a West Coast IPA, you know?
Mm-hmm. They're a West Coast cider. Maybe that's a thing.
Yep.
But, I don't know about that.
But I would have thought the berries would have imparted a little bit more color.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Well, we don't know how much they're adding in.
No.
And, but yeah, this one's pretty easy drinking, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it goes down smooth.
I don't think be able to have more than one of this at one time.
Honestly, that's my thoughts on most of them.
Well, ciders are that way. I can have one.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dude's Rug I do like a lot, though.
That one is just so rich to me. It's not sweet, but it's, like, rich. So, yeah, drinking that bomber can be a struggle. I've done it, but...
Now, what's your go-to cider?
My go-to? It used to be Angry Orchard, but that...
The regular?
That's gotten too sweet for me now. Okay. I like Woodchuck, but it's hard to find that around here now.
Oh, it is?
What? Heard, really? Like, Hammers has said that there's been some issues with the distributor and stuff. They can't really get them as easily.
Hmm.
So I'm not really sure what's up. So I guess my go-to would be Magners.
Okay.
That's pretty mild.
Magners been out for a long time, too.
That was the first one I actually tried, so maybe that's why I like
it. Now, what are your thoughts on Red Apple Ale or whatever that is?
I think they've changed their formula.
Because it was hot garbage.
Yes, now it's okay.
It's not a cider. That's part of the problem. It's a malt liquor.
Yeah.
Before, it literally tasted like they took crappy beer and mixed apple juice in it.
Yeah.
It was like, it's a cider, guys. Drink it. But now it's tolerable. I'll drink it if that's the only cider option I have. Strongbow.
I was getting ready to say Strongbow. We went out for work after we got off work Friday at the bank, and a couple of the people were drinking Strongbow. I was like, "You're supposed to be drinking that over ice." And she's like, "What?" And I'm like, "Yeah, you're supposed to." They say Strongbow is good over ice.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
When I had it for the first time at Riot Fest years ago, it was when it was first coming out, and they had a little lodge or tent area set up, and you go in there and pay $8 for a cup
tiny cup.
And they were pouring it over a cup of ice, and I was like, whoa, you're like watering down what I would consider a watered down beer as it is.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, no, that we actually, it's supposed to be, yeah, they recommend drinking it that way.
I've never tried it like that, but I guess I will now.
So, I don't know, but.
First time, or the grand opening of Tannins and Hops.
Yeah.
There was some lady at the bar drinking a Bud Light on ice.
What?
And oddly enough, that happened at the Fox the same week. And I was like, what is going on?
It was the same lady.
It may have been.
I would assume it's the same lady.
Maybe that's her thing. Maybe her thing is to go in and do that.
Yep.
You never know.
She's like, I don't even like it. I'm just messing with these people.
Let's throw them a wrench.
Troll.
It's just, she's trolling the Peoria craft beer scene with her
ice Bud Light.
Yeah. I mean, Bud Ice, that was a thing, but...
It was?
Oh, yeah, Bud Ice. Yeah, it was the 90s, wasn't it?
Yeah, I believe so. I don't think that one's going to come back. So, we're going to finish up our Ace Berry, and while we do that, we're going to let you listen to an ad from another show on the FCF Network. These guys are the self-described most dangerous podcast on the internet. I'm going to leave that up to you to decide, but I'm talking about MHOG, the Metal Hand of God podcast, right here on the FCF Network.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen.
Hola.
I am Wayne.
I'm the Rum Guy.
I'm Kyle.
And I'm Adam.
And we are the Metal Hand of God podcast.
Are we?
Yes. We are the most... What are we? The most what?
Dangerous, I think.
Dangerous, that's right.
We're the most dangerous podcast on the internet.
We are!
You need a safety vest to watch us?
We do.
To listen?
Yes.
You also need a condom.
And a hard hat.
Yes.
Because we'll get you pregnant!
Yeah.
Steel toe boots are required!
So, if you like silliness, dick jokes, sometimes serious topics, right?
Sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
No political correctness whatsoever.
None! Then we're the show for you. That's the Metal Hand of God podcast. And
remember to keep it
metal!
Yeah! And we're back. That was the Metal Hand of God. You can find them on the FCF Network. I believe they put out 2 shows a week. There's like 3 shows on the network now that are doing the double content. We've got my show, which is on Sundays, and then Drunk at the Movies on Wednesday. You've got the Hyper Uppercut podcast doing their regular show, and then the Final Draft. And then you got the Metal Hand of God podcast, and they're doing 2 shows a week. We just can't shut the fuck up, and we are releasing it as we record it so you guys can enjoy it, and they're all for free, all at fcfnetwork.com. Go check it out. We've got other shows. We have the debut of Broken Funny Bone. You used to listen to IBWIP. That's where I got my start. This show is because of IBWIP. We have now rebranded it. Broken Funny Bone is now available. So check that out. Couch Pilots, Let's Try This, B-Movie Breakdown. There's so many good shows. You have no excuse. So we're going to drink now. Again,
it's
got a kick, man.
Well, you want to know why? Because it's 14%.
Oh, shit.
I save the strongest for last on this show. We Vanessa Williams it every time.
Wow.
So this is the Wildflower Mead. This is infused with pumpkin. Now, these guys are out of the Quad Cities. It's the Bootleg Hill LLC. That's what it's under on Untappd if you're checking things in. But this is a honey wine with pumpkin. And these guys first came onto my radar. I went out to Broadway one Friday after getting off work at Co-op. And the gentleman was there doing a tasting and pouring samples. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll try it. Why not? And, you know, I'm not a big mead guy, but I have drank mead before. And I was like, okay, this is definitely not what I'm looking for right now, but it's good to know it's out there.
You should be checking that in.
And it's good stuff. This is one I have not had. And pumpkin, you know, we just finished Thanksgiving. Halloween was a month ago. So pumpkin is very prevalent this time of year, especially in this area, because we have Morton, the pumpkin capital of the world.
Touche.
So, yeah, we get pumpkins up the wahoo.
If we brought if Smashing Pumpkins ever got back together.
Festival.
Have you heard his new solo album?
I hate to say this, but I'm just so spent on him.
He's falling off the radar.
I love the guy.
I've had a lot of Billy Corgan discussion this week, so it just, you know,
may as well go with it. To me, it's just, I don't know. He somehow managed to, you know, ruin a great band.
Yeah. Well, rumors that he's talking
him
to...
Iha are talking and playing together, right?
That's the first step.
Yeah.
If we can get James on board, yeah. And you know Jimmy will come along because he was playing with Billy and Pumpkins 2.0.
Well, if they look at their counterparts who decide to get their shit together and go on reunion tours, people like reunions.
Yeah.
I saw Guns N' Roses last Monday. I was invited by the band. I went. Never my number one band or anything. I grew up with them.
They've got
fucking
Duff,
blown away.
Duff and Slasher back.
Yep, they're all there.
My boy Slash Tommy Stinson, not on bass for GNR anymore, but it's cool to see Duff.
Excellent show, 3 hours, and I walked away going...
How was Axl's voice?
Really decent. Above
were they
average.
On,
deeper, but better.
On time?
On time, on point.
He had good like backup singers, too.
They helped him in some of the higher stuff, but he's screaming his ass off. I have to give credit where credit's due. They got their shit together. And they're sober, let's be honest.
Yeah.
They're all sober.
They play a lot of Chinese Democracy?
They'd play two.
Which is crazy to think
songs.
That record now is almost a decade old. It took 15 years to come out, and it's almost been 10 years now since that's...
They did a Pink Floyd cover, Wish You Were Here, and a Chris Cornell tribute, and did Black Hole Sun. So it was great. Slash was amazing. So
wow.
I know, that stuff's got a kick, man.
Yeah.
It's meme.
I don't get it like you guys are getting it, I guess.
Really?
You don't like it?
I just don't get the alcohol.
Yeah.
You get the kick?
On this, like, the nose, I smell like that propyl alcohol, you know, rubbing alcohol, but then on the taste, like, because I'm used to huge barrel-aged stouts.
This is true.
Stuff, yeah, and, like, some of the triple IPAs.
I like it. Just gonna.
It's actually smooth. I wouldn't have guessed it was 14%.
Well, I've drank.
I would guess like 10, but
I've drank some from them, and I want to say, maybe it's just the pumpkin isn't lending itself as well to quote unquote covering up the alcohol in it.
Yeah.
Because I don't remember the other ones tasting this strong to me, because I was surprised when he told me how strong it was. Mm-hmm. But I was only drinking like a NyQuil glass.
Right.
But still.
I think it was.
I just took a sip and I was getting. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I got a ton of alcohol on the nose.
This is literally from a Hy-Vee taste.
I like it.
It's really strong. But I don't remember it being this strong.
They have like six kinds, I think, at Hy-Vee.
Mm-hmm.
The Grand Prairie one, anyway.
I got the standard one, and then I got pumpkin, because...
I think I'm growing a third testicle, though. This thing is pretty... sorry, that's not...
Hey.
It's a bad visual, I realize. Anything goes.
Just a lot of ball talk.
I'm really sad I didn't get the hairy testicle.
That's the name of the episode?
We may have ball talk. That may be the name of the episode. I'm going to write that down just in case.
I'm still sad I didn't get
Welcome to ball talk.
The reading of my hairy testicle or whatever. That would have been good. Okay. Yeah, you should do this game at the end.
Yeah, I think, like I said, this was the first time we tried it. I think, yeah, that's
lesson learned, right?
Well, yeah.
Have you heard of the game What?
What?
What? There's a game called What, and it's kind of like this, but they give you a prompt. So it'll be like, what does Dustin like to do first thing when he gets up in the morning? And then you write some nasty, crazy shit that's going to make everybody laugh.
Okay.
It just reminded me of that. It's really fun. Gotcha.
Well, we're changing things up. So there's a few different games we're going to play. This is one of them. I've got another game that will feature probably on the next episode. And then when I don't feel like playing a game, I've got a new segment that you guys can look forward to called the Drunken Lullabies Hall of Fame. And you'll just have to wait and see what that is. it's going to be a good time. But while we finish this Wildflower Mead, we're going to listen to our last song from our band of the week, Kevin Max, which, you know, we've had some really good musicians on this show. I don't think any of them have 4 Grammys. This guy does. So he may have the most hardware on his fireplace. But he's got 8 full lengths, 1 Christmas album, 7 EPs. He's working on a new album right now. And the bass player for the Smiths is actually playing on it.
Oh, sweet.
That's one of his favorite bands. He's a huge, you know, like 80s British alternative music fan.
The band you need to get into. Don't curse in this.
Yes.
The Smiths.
Yeah. They're so good.
They're fantastic.
Not really.
Wow. Yeah.
Did you see Morrissey actually played a show in California like yesterday or 2 days ago canceling?
Yeah.
I saw him when he was in Bloomington.
I missed that. I want to go so bad.
We bought tickets and we had a side bet. Will this show actually happen? Because he's notorious for canceling shows.
Yeah. He's not the coolest guy.
Yeah.
Well, that's part of his charm.
He wrote the song, This Charming Man.
Right.
But yeah, he's one of those people, he makes it so hard to like him, but you gotta give it up to him. I had a conversation about Kanye West when we were at the Fieldhouse the other night. I said, he's a fucking douchebag, but he writes a good song, and I like his music.
Part of his appeal.
But I don't like him as a person, but I gotta acknowledge that I enjoy his work. You can separate the two.
Well, so many musicians in history are totally that way. You know, difficult as all hell, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like fucking assholes in their personal lives.
Yeah, well, Jim Morrison.
Oh yeah, Morrison.
We don't talk about Jim Morrison on this show because I don't like the Doors. That's my one band. Everybody has that one band.
You have one band that you hate, and it's the Doors.
Yeah.
What?
I just don't like them. Man. Part of it.
Is it Oliver Stone's fault?
No, I just, I find Morrison unbearably pretentious.
Really? Well, he was.
But to the point to where, like...
And Mick Jagger doesn't bother you.
There's no charm to it at all with me. Like, he's not a poet. Like, he's just a dude that...
I'll say this much. I love the doom. I love the gloom. Yeah. I think out of that late 60s thing, they were the only band who was like... The music sounded like the times.
I like some...
It was so fucking crazy.
There's a couple 60s. Door songs I do enjoy... If they had a different
then
singer.
Then you say you can't hate them then.
If they had a different singer, I might like them.
See, I read the biography.
I would rather hear
which one?
The John Densmore one.
Okay, that was good.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it really shed so much light on.
Well, Ginsberg was a suffered guy in the band. Yeah. You know, he was, you know.
He was a drummer, yeah. And people would go up to Jim Morrison and ask for an autograph, and he'd say, like, a guy was like, oh, you know, my wife loves your band. Would you sign this? Jim Morrison just straight up said, oh, you'd do anything for pussy, wouldn't you? And walked away. Didn't even sign it.
You gotta realize how drunk he was.
Yeah, I know, but that
I know.
Doesn't right. make it any better.
No, I'm not giving him an excuse, but look, the only thing I can say about the late 60s artists, and he's not unlike Joplin. He's not unlike Jimmy. He's not unlike...
Not Robert, a Joplin not, fan either.
He's not unlike, you know, Pigpen from The Grateful Dead. The problem was all
about Pigpen from Charlie Brown.
Well, him too.
Okay.
Because he didn't shower. He
had Correct.
So... There was no education at the time about alcoholism or drug addiction.
Yeah.
And there was nobody saying, stop, you should just not do this. So, anyway, I'm a Jim fan.
Yeah, I just... What's your one band? Like I said, everybody has one band that a lot of people love, and you're just like, I just don't like them. And I know I'm not the only person the like hated, this with the Doors, because I've had other have a friends band like tell too. Me.
Man, for me, it's...
Dave Matthews Band now?
No, I enjoyed early days.
Calvin's like,
for me, it goes back to the 80s. I mean, coming to adolescence in the 80s and some of that, you know, that whole hair metal scene. Probably the band I despise the most is Bon Jovi.
Okay.
Well, okay.
It's only because he's still huge, right?
Yeah.
His band. They still sell at stadiums. Yeah. People think they're like icons of music, and I'm like,
they haven't. They really were not had icons a hit of music. Songs.
I can definitely get behind that. Early 2000s.
And I'm not saying this because it's easy to say that. I mean, because this, I only look at him like, good God, this fucker still sells 80,000 tickets every time he plays. So somebody worships this guy.
Definitely.
Yep.
A lot of people worship this guy. He's a sweet person. And he's a good guy. He does a lot of great charitable work, and I give him credit for that. So I don't dislike him as a person.
Right.
Just music. I just would stab myself in the face with a fork. I can't listen to it.
She's a little...
That's exactly my thoughts on Nirvana.
Oh, man.
Okay, here's the thing. We were talking Foo Fighters earlier. I used to get a lot of shit because even three albums into the Foo Fighters career, I was like, I like Foo Fighters better than Nirvana. That was a little bit of sacrilege to say then. Nowadays, I don't think it's as bad because Foo Fighters have been around for like 20 years now. Now, granted, the impact Nirvana had, you're wearing a Nirvana-themed t-shirt.
Yeah, when you say it's Nirvana, let me ask you this.
It's a brewery.
Do you say that about Nirvana because of just the overexposure of Kurt and overexposure of the band, or are you saying it because you musically don't enjoy them?
Musically, I don't enjoy them.
Like, because of what... There's a phrase
Kurt
in music,
and Dave
right?
Dave Grohl are hilarious.
Yeah.
I like the guys, but...
Yeah.
It's the whole grunge scene. It wasn't...
I don't get a real idea how many bands were out at that time. I mean, between the late 80s, early 90s, how many bands were underground, how many bands were on Sub Pop.
Right.
I had cousins from Seattle, and they were telling me about that era, that whole time frame, and I was out there as a 16-year-old, and we were going to go to the Warehouse District out there and see bands. And there's a reason they rose to the top, I think. Because what Kurt blended, what worked, was he realized that verse, chorus, verse, keep it simple, and it was about the fucking Beatles. It wasn't about trying to be anything else. Listen to Nirvana's song structures and the chord structures.
You could tell he was a big fan of the Pixies.
Loud, quiet.
Yeah.
Love the Pixies.
Yeah.
Pixies should have been Nirvana.
Yeah.
You know, they're, don't get me wrong, they're still huge. Yeah. People love the Pixies.
Touring with Weezer next year.
Oddly enough. Pixies. Doolittle, what a great record.
Oh, that's my favorite.
I give Kurt credit. I think he managed to put together a pop songs with heavy, heavy guitars. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's why it worked.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say about Nirvana.
It was just more of the, like,
that's all I got to say about that.
Yeah. People seem to love Nirvana for, like...
You got to remember his death also glorified.
That's going to take it to a whole other notch.
But that's part of the problem. Same thing happens with the Doors, though, too. Like, people love the Doors because of that.
But right. Listen to the Doors first. I'll go back to the Doors real quick. If you listen to the end... Also, I'll put it in one song for you. We listen to The End by the Doors. That to me is one of the greatest songs in the history of rock is the end.
How old was Jim Morrison when he died?
Well, they're all in the 27 group.
I was like, were they in the 27 club?
Yeah.
I thought he was.
Yeah, sadly, the 27 group.
Musicians.
Not to be confused with the 700 club. Right. That's a totally different.
We can't get Bieber to overdose, so I don't know what's going
on. He's not 27 yet. We have time.
I know. I'm kidding.
Kind of.
The cider's talking.
All right. Well, we had a little detour, but it was all working its way back. We're going to listen to the last song here from Kevin Max off of the 2005 album, The Imposter. This is probably my favorite solo song of his. You know, I always take it back to a deeper cut for the final song. So here we go. This is Sanctuary here on Drunken Lullabies.
words down to remind you that I know life has never passed or failed.
With Sanctuary from Kevin Max from the album The Imposter. Earlier this year, I did a Facebook post on my personal page talking about top five vocalists, and I wanted to find out who everybody's favorite vocalists were. Kevin Max is actually in my top five, so I'm stoked to be able to feature him on the show and maybe introduce his music to some new listeners that may not have been familiar. You can find him online. Just look up Kevin Max. He's got a website. You can order the music. Keep up to date on Facebook. Doesn't play a whole lot of shows. He's doing a Christmas show, which actually I think happened yesterday down in Franklin. But he did a Christmas show. And yeah, I don't know. Just keep up to date. You can find all the info there. Everybody's on Facebook at this point. So it's now that time of the show. We've drank all the beers that the guests have brought. It's time for us to spotlight the people that pay the bills. It is now time for the sponsors. Spotlight!
Hip hop, hip hop. My voice is like a monster. And now a word from my sponsor.
All right, from Distill Brewery in Bloomington, Illinois, we're going to debut, for the first time ever on the show, and the first time ever in my mouth, the Wild Sour Cranberry Creek.
In and around my mouth.
Yeah, yep. In the general vicinity. I thought this would pair well with a cider episode. Like I said, have not had it. This is a new addition to the canning line. to show how new it is, we're drinking it out of a can for a different beer, because this is from the test batch before they got it canned in the proper cans. But Distill Brewery was founded in Bloomington, Illinois, and has been boycotting Bland since 2013. Their hard work and craftsmanship has led to a wide array of beers that are anything but bland. From the Wild Sour line to the barrel-aged St. Dakara series, Distill's award-winning beers include something for everyone. With options like Weisenheimer, Vertex IPA, Syncopathic, and Dos Vidania, hope you guys had fun at Dos Vidania Day last month. Distill doesn't disappoint. So we here at Drunken Lullabies encourage you to boycott Bland alongside us. Support flavor, drink Distill. And that's what we are going to do now. Like I said, they actually gave this to me in Syncopathic cans and wrote Cranberry Creek on the side of it. It is 5%, and it is our non-traditional Cranberry Creek evolved by merging tart cranberries with sweet cherries normally associated with a traditional creek. But in a kettle sour beer that is wonderfully intricate, balanced, fruity, and tart. We then dry hopped this crimson color beer for a touch of citrus aroma and flavor, adding another layer of complexity and a perfect finish. Cheers! Flavor profile, sour, tart, cherry, light, and dry. Currently, only 300 check-ins on Untapped. So
there's about to be four more.
Right. we like to do this sometimes on the show for people who are on Untapped, the Drunk Maniacs at home. They like getting new fans to follow on Untapped. Let's get some new friends for everybody. And also they can use it as a sneak preview to know what we're gonna be drinking on upcoming episodes because Drunken Lullaby Studios is a location. So you can follow along what we're drinking. But what is everybody's Untapped handle? I am D Wyckoff 11, WIKOFF11. Calvin?
I am The Clavicle.
Because you love collarbones.
It was a nickname an old friend gave me.
The Clavicle.
Yep, The Clavicle. Because I'm
big Aaron Rodgers fan.
Apparently.
Once
my Vikings did that.
I've been called Clav before because on my lifeguard license they misspelled my name.
Oh, Clavin.
So then that came from that nickname.
Okay.
So T-H-E-C-L-A-V-I-C-L-E, The Clavicle.
Also Clavicle, wow. Fantastic song from Alkaline Trio off their debut album, God Damn It.
Yeah, no, so. Mine's basic. It's just Bayhan. So.
Bayhan?
That's it.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm going to change it.
Oh, now that we've done the show, you're going
to
change it?
Yeah, I'm going to change it to something. I mean, obviously, I'm lame as fuck. So
he doesn't want friends.
Well, he made it, like, yesterday, so.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Because I'm like, you need to get Untapped.
Look, I'll be a total disclosure. I mean, the radio world's a little weird because I'm real careful about things I sign up for and get involved in.
Yeah.
Because it, unfortunately, the good news and the bad news about it is it opens up a Pandora's box of things sometimes that is any more negative on social media and with apps or whatever, right? So that's the only reason I've been.
I gotcha.
So yeah, it's changing though. I'm changing that name because it fucking blows.
So I kind of forced him.
All due respect to my great grandfather. But anyway, what?
I kind of forced you, but
you didn't force me.
You can. No, you I'm can happy keep to keep track it. Of what you're drinking.
If you want motivated like now after doing this,
yeah.
No man, I mean that. This is great. So
and you get badges and
yeah.
It, like
yeah,
that motivates me.
Yeah, it motivates.
What part of this sucks?
I'm now like legendary. You know. I've drank over 2,500 different
beers.
Like
they need to kick every single beer.
That's a lot.
That's a bad thing.
I can walk for miles about certain things.
Yeah.
Okay, my Untapped is my name, Kirsten Krupps, KirstenKrupps.
Yep.
And I feel like you'd appreciate my bio, because on there I just say, I am the cider queen.
I was going to say, so. If you want to see what ciders Kirsten is drinking.
She's keeping cider alive.
It's basically just ciders.
Cider.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Drink.
And
there's a few thrown in.
115 unique different beers. If those are all ciders, that's pretty
mostly
impressive.
I would say at least 80 of them probably are.
Yeah. Matt, you know, you got one beer. You got your first badge there.
I'm pretty excited for that, man.
Yeah, so we'll have to get you.
I'm kind of a virgin.
You can check in the rest of
so
them
many.
Before you go.
Yeah, no, I need to.
I'm up to 2615 on unique beers.
Yeah,
so long.
No, it's really what's easy is when you have a group of people all in one location, you can just piggyback. You let one person do all the work, and then you look them up and you just like click their check in, and you're like, I drank that too.
Oh, well, I'm done. Yeah. I just saw that. Yeah.
You go to one of those big, well, the
all
big
right,
share
so
that you had
go
here.
To there.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I did.
That's what
I was like,
did.
I don't.
Yep.
Because I wasn't sitting there checking them in during the night.
Right.
Like, you're talking to people. I don't like to be on my phone.
Yeah, no.
So I'll check them in.
There was there were too many beers to keep track of at that point.
And if I can't remember one, I don't care.
Yeah.
What's it matter?
I don't mind the sour.
Yeah.
I haven't had a lot of sours. I tried to order this at 8-Bit the other week, and they didn't
come I think the cranberry lends itself pretty well, because that's going to level out the tartness
a bit. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, this cranberry is very bitter.
Right, so did that one, right?
I was going to say that, like, it's acidic up front, but the back end, it doesn't leave you with that puckering factor. Like,
yeah,
it's actually kind of just lazy smooth.
So by the time this episode comes out on December 3rd, you should be able to find this beer on shelves. The Wild Sour Cranberry Creek Distill has been rebranding their canning line. All the cans are uniformed now. Yep.
And Moon Jumper's been out for a couple weeks.
Moon Jumper, we debuted that with our friends Flogging Molly a few weeks ago. Featured that on the show. And yeah, they've got some new stuff coming out. Dos Vidania Day was, you know, a few weeks ago. Yep. So this is always a busy time of the year for Distill. And they've pumped out a few new releases to wrap up 2017.
I will say, if you're out of the area, get your bottles of Dos, because in our area, they sell out fast.
Yeah, well,
but
we know what's
up. Chicago, they hold on to the bottles for a while, because people don't know what it is.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So, yeah, don't
just
sleep
look,
on that.
Look for the waxy goodness from Distill. And, well, I haven't done this in a few weeks, just because, I don't know, for some reason I didn't do it. But I'm trying to make up now. I've been doing the music picks of the week. What have I been listening to a lot lately? And there's been a few new releases that I have enjoyed quite a bit. Beck's new album, Colors. I am happy that Funky Beck is back.
It's excellent.
I dig the mellower albums. The last one, Morning Phase, was good, but it was a Sad Bastard record.
Is that the one with Dreams?
It was Sea Change Part 2, yes. Dreams is on the new album, Colors.
Oh, it is.
It's funky party music. He just wrapped up some shows, opening for U2 on the Joshua Tree tour. I'm wanting to see headlining shows, because I haven't seen Beck live, and I think this is going to be...
You never have.
Oddly enough, he's still on the list.
I saw him at Illinois State in Odelay tour.
Okay, I had some friends that went to that show.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I mean, to this day, just like,
yeah.
What didn't he do up there? People forget how amazingly talented he is on so many levels. Acoustic, he's playing drums, he was scratching, he was, I mean, everything. I mean, just like, it's kind of like modern genius in our era, like, and nobody, it's like everybody kind of takes him for granted. He's just always there.
Well, because he started off on a quote-unquote kind of novelty song.
Yeah,
you know?
Right, he did. Yeah. Loser totally kind of ruined him in a way.
But then
he did Odelay, and I was like, to this day, I can still listen to that album start to finish.
So, I highly recommend checking out Beck's album, Colors. Liam Gallagher, the voice of Oasis, has a new solo record, As You Were.
He's still an asshole, which is nice.
Exactly. We talked about that earlier. But God love him.
I do too, man.
I'm a big Oasis fan, and I like Noel, but I like Liam's voice better. You know, I can...
He was the voice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So...
No, that's him.
Oh, yeah, no. Fozzy, Chris Jericho's band, has a new record called Judas.
Playing that on the
edge? I am a Jericho-holic. I have been for so many years, and he released Judas as a single months and months ago. I kept waiting for the album to drop, and it's finally out now. I've been enjoying it for several weeks. So, yeah, I don't think they're coming to the Peoria area.
Funny you say that.
Get on that, man.
Oh, really?
Get on that, man.
It's, they want to play here.
Okay.
And they were almost a part of Nutcracker. So, the 1057, I'm sorry, I didn't bring up radio shit.
No, but, that's...
So, the ex-Nutcracker is sold out, but they were almost a part of that. They were, matter of fact, it came down to about 3 days before we announced the concert. I thought Fozzy was going to be on it.
Nuts.
So, we'll get him.
All right,
yeah, cool. They'll be here, because we're playing that, and it's a great album. It's really good. That song's great.
And he has his own podcast, Jericho, which is a great show.
I think a lot of folks thought they were kind of like almost novelty to a degree.
They were when they started.
Solid
when they started out, they were called Fozzy Osbourne.
Right.
They had alter egos. They wore costumes, and they played cover songs. So they were. It was him and some of the guys from Stuck Mojo.
Yep.
And then they kind of got tired of that. And wanted to write their own songs. And here credit, they are all man. Those years later.
This new song is tremendous.
He double dips between the wrestling and the music, and he'll do like half the year wrestling. He just announced he's going to be wrestling in Japan against Kenny Omega. The wrestling world is up in arms about that in anticipation. He dropped that on Twitter. So that was like a big deal because he's like a WWE a guy.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
He's going to be going to Japan.
But if the band connects, you know, he's got that the rest of his life.
Yeah. Man, so, and we mentioned the Nutcracker, which just happened, sold out. Everybody had a blast. But
crazy.
Greta Van Fleet, their debut album, From the Fires, out. I've been digging that. I mean, I said it when I first heard them. It's like, okay, so if you love Led Zeppelin, but you're tired of listening to the old ones, and you want something like, what if Robert Plant was reincarnated and was starting out again? Listen to Greta Van Fleet.
And had a tinge of Geddy Lee in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a tinge.
It's like an 18-year-old.
We just interviewed, you know, we've been with them. They had a great show, right. Of course. They're so humble and down to earth. They're from Frankenmuth, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
They were raised by hippie parents.
They're so young. All they are. Like, I mean, they're 20 or under.
They're the twins in the band.
I can't have them on the show, one major label, but two under drinking age.
Well, so, two of the guys are 21, and two of them are 18. So the two twins, the brothers, there's three brothers. The lead singer is the oldest brother, 21. Then the two twins are 18, and their best friend's on drums. He's 21. So crazy stupid young.
Yeah. I mean,
they barely have pubes. So it's like, you know, it's like, good God.
Ball talk.
Yes. More ball talk. Yes.
More so many
when we talk to them, they're kind of in shock a little bit
because
they were raised on the Allman Brothers and blues. Their parents were
Howlin' Wolf,
Muddy Waters, all that, playing on vinyl in their house from age zero to where they were. And their parents were like, bought them instruments at age 10, and hippie parents that were just like, let's have fun with music and celebrate. And it's such a wonderful story, you know, and they don't realize how good they are because they're so young. But now they're selling out everything.
And I've had so many friends that have brought them up to me. They're like, hey, have you ever heard Greta Van Fleet? It's like,
you know the origin of the name, right?
Well, here's the thing.
I think I told him.
Yeah, we talked about it on the show.
Yeah, the teacher.
Because
worked for some Gretna.
Gretna, right.
When we talked about it on the past episode, I mentioned how when I first saw the name, I was picturing like a Canadian singer-songwriter girl.
Right.
And then I hit play and I'm like, oh, fuck, this is not what I was expecting.
No, they don't fuck around.
This is new school.
I don't know, not to beat a dead horse, but there's a little bit of Black Crowes in there, and there's a little bit of, obviously, Zep.
Yeah.
But blues, I mean, just blues, rock and roll, it's like, when people say rock and roll's got this and that, it's not, it's dying on the vine. I'm like, well, people don't fucking listen to the right music.
Well, and again, part of it is like, come on. A lot of people, it's a known fact, once you reach a certain age, you stop seeking out new music.
You listen to what you know. 18.
Exactly.
Right. You don't grow out of
it. And you may still follow those bands and keeping up with what they put out, but you don't discover new music.
Right.
And with me working at the record store and doing this show, I am looking for new bands every day. Yep. So, like, I'm doing myself a disservice because there's too much for me to keep up with. Because I'm just constantly
staggering
new music.
Great music on
and then it's like, oh yeah, this band I've been listening to for 20 years has a new album out that I haven't even paid attention to because I'm focusing on these new bands. Right. But yeah, there's always good music out there. And that's why I try to bring a new band every week that maybe you guys haven't heard of. Sometimes they're brand new. Sometimes they've been around for a while. They're on the, you know, we were on a major label, but now we're indie. We're doing it ourselves. And Anti-Flag, they've got a new album, American Fall. They're another one. They've been around forever. They started indie, went to major label, now back on an indie. They were touring with Flogging Molly, unfortunately, the day after Peoria. I was talking to them about doing a show as well, and then I looked at the tour dates, and I was like, oh, shit. They're not in Peoria. They're at the next day.
Fuck.
Well, damn it. Because they were on board. Like, they messed. Yeah, that sounds cool. Let's do something. And I was like,
fly to Peoria just for
Yeah, right? So, unfortunately,
that's when you know you've made it, Dustin.
Yeah.
Flying.
Yeah. Well, we haven't got there yet. Maybe someday. Maybe
I don't even think the huge podcasts do that if they're in town. Like,
yeah.
Like the Nerdist with Chris Hardwick.
Maybe if I get some Mark Maron money. But until I have the president on the show, That really won't happen. Obama would drink with me.
Obama would be great. He did but drink. Do you really want our current president?
No, no. We would talk wrestling. That's all we would
he
talk
about. He was a wrestling guy.
He was on WrestleMania. So that's probably all I'd be able to talk about with him. So, yeah. Whatever. But if you guys want to buy any of these albums that I just mentioned, the best way to do it, go to fcfnetwork.com. Click on the Amazon banner up at the top of the webpage. You'll be redirected to Amazon. Buy that shit. And at no extra charge to you, you'll be supporting the network because we get a little bit of a kickback on every purchase made through that portal. Ooh. So, do your Christmas shopping. It's December 3rd. You know if you haven't made it out to the stores at this point, you're fucked because it's going to be horrible. Don't go to the malls. Go to Amazon. Go to scfnetwork.com. Click Amazon. Quick shipping. Delivered right to your door, and you don't have to smell people that you don't want to smell and listen to screaming babies and be exposed to God knows what germs that are cultivating in wherever you're living right now. Just don't do it. Don't do it. Just buy through Amazon and support the network. That's it. Easy peasy. So,
happy holidays.
Right now, we've drank all the beers that we are going to drink for the show.
Damn it.
So it is now time for us to go around the corner, around the circle, and say exactly what we enjoyed the most. It is time for Picks of the Week! Calvin, what was your favorite? Let's go through the list. We had the One Tree Caramel Cinnamon. We had the Dude's Rug. We had the Blake's Flannel Mouth. We had the Ace Berry. We had that Wildflower Mead with Pumpkin. And the Cranberry Creek from Distill. I am excluding the Coney Island Hard Lemon Lime Twist because it's not a cider, but we did drink it. So
if that was your favorite.
Whatever.
Well, I would say the Cranberry Creek because I love sours. But okay. Since this was a cider episode.
I usually exclude the sponsor spotlight sometimes. Yeah. But
I would also say the mead, but that wasn't a cider either. If I was going with a cider, I would go with the cinnamon caramel.
Okay.
Oh, sure. Your pick.
One Tree.
Okay.
It was
apple pie in a glass.
It was like, very apple
good.
Cobbler with like
that was a good
melted vanilla ice cream.
Which Matt and didn't bring.
Way to go, Matt.
I didn't bring it either. You would eat up ice cream
next time, if I'm invited,
you're gonna show
bring ice cream.
You're going to bring ice cream. We're going to be drinking IPAs. And we're like, why the fuck did you bring ice cream?
A fuck ton of ice cream is what I'm going to bring.
Except that we go with stouts.
Yeah. Strawberry sundaes for everybody.
Yep.
All right, Matt, what was your pick of the week?
You know what? Everything was wonderful, actually. I mean, I loved everything. But, and I'm not doing this to be a homer, but Dude's Rug, I love it.
Okay.
It was tremendous. I enjoy the Dude's Rug immensely. It's good stuff.
It did tie the room together.
One Tree's
very
good, too. Yeah. You know, so, yes.
Nice marmot. All right, Kirsten.
Exactly.
I mean, I've already said that the Dude's Rug is my favorite. And
yeah.
Still my favorite.
That would be weird for you
not
to.
I'm not trying to follow your situation. I just like the Dude's Rug, so.
All right.
So I'm going to stick with that. I would love to find one that tops it.
It's a very
It's like autumn in a glass.
Really.
Yeah. I'm going with Cosmo here. I'm going the One Tree Caramel Cinnamon. I dug that.
That was second.
It was a good way to kick off the episode of ciders,
it's like
I thought.
For the bomber.
That's it?
And that's available in this area?
Yeah, Friar Tuck. $8 for the bomber.
There you go.
Should be good for Thanksgiving and Christmas
Definitely.
Festivities.
Mm-hmm. Happy holidays.
For sure. Well, this is the time of the show we're wrapping things up. If anybody has anything they would like to promote or plug, this is the time to do so. Calvin, how's that solo album coming? No? Release date pushback?
Still underground.
Another pushback. Another probably 4 to 5 years.
Okay. All right. Is there anything you would like to give a shout out to?
Just one that we already did. Poor Brothers.
Nate, okay.
Nate, thank you for the bottle of Dude's Rug.
Pour the experience in the Heights.
Yep.
Yeah, thanks, Nate. We go there all the time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Thank you, Poor Brothers.
It's awesome. It's like, what is that ice cream place? Sweet CC's?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But with beer.
Perfect.
Touché. Yeah. Make your own
ciders. They always have a cider or two up there on tap. So.
Yeah, they're good. They're good people. Pretty much everybody is friends of the show that works there. So, yeah, I always encourage people to go check out Poor Brothers. It's a good spot. And they support live music. Yeah. And they have a lot of people come out for that, which is fantastic.
What are they building in that square now?
Just new parking.
Yeah.
Not gravel.
Area, whatever.
Yeah. Nate was wearing a hard hat on a picture on Facebook.
Swimming pool.
An actual parking lot, not just gravel.
Yeah. Right. They're getting rid of the gravel. All right, Matt.
Yes.
Plug away, my friend.
Wow.
No pressure.
I don't know. Stay tuned for some details coming up on, you know, the commercial rock radio side. I know that's kind of a cliche phrase. Yeah. We're not all bad, right? I mean, we try to do the right thing. We're trying to discover new music as well. You know, it's like Greta Van Fleet as an example. I think we're the third station in the world to play them. So there's things that go on that side, too, that we're proud of. So we're always trying to do that stuff. But on the morning show side for me, we are going to be launching my morning show house band.
Okay.
Oh, God. So, Boner Smoke. Boner Smoke's coming, finally.
Is going to happen in 2018. And we had a meeting about it, and it's going to happen. So
excellent.
So I'm not saying we're talented, but I'm just saying it's going to happen.
The opposite.
And we'll be doing charitable shows, and we're going to be doing some crazy things, and we might get our dumb asses up in front of one of our big shows just to be fucking idiots.
All right.
You know?
I am 100% behind that kind of
yeah.
I am surprised activity. It's themed around boners and not balls.
Though. Right.
Well, nope, balls have been the topic today, but no.
Boners. Ball talk!
Yeah.
I have to get out my cowbell, my triangle, because that's
Kirsten did say she wanted to play triangle or cowbell.
Whichever one's needed, I can switch.
But
that's about all my musical capabilities are good for. But
we're new covers, and we're going to write original at some point. That's cool. The plan.
All right.
So get ready for Boner Smoke.
Hey, I've got a good logo for
it. And we can maybe name a beer out of that at some point.
Hey, that sounds like a good beer.
Boner Smoke Brew.
So, happy holidays.
A lot of Peoria breweries coming.
Exactly.
I think four Peoria breweries coming in the next 2 years, probably.
That's amazing, actually. Yeah.
Good. I'm glad for it. We need it. We need stuff like that in Peoria.
Absolutely.
More places to go, more things to do.
Mm-hmm.
Kirsten?
I don't even know.
Are you still doing photography?
I am. If you need some family photos or your pets, really enjoy doing your dogs and cats, horses, guinea pigs, all that good stuff. So.
You've taken pictures of guinea pigs?
I have.
That's weird.
She's damn good.
It was good. It was fun.
Damn good.
I would really like to do a bird. If anybody has a bird out there that you need a photo of.
That's the weird part.
Some sixth grader really loved her guinea pig.
Okay.
Okay.
What about a marmot?
Yeah, nice marmot.
Anything. A bird, though. I've not done a bird. So if you have a bird out there and you would like some pictures done, hit me up.
Okay.
What about Boss Head birds?
Hmm?
At the radio world.
Remember? Where can people find you on social media to book their bird photos?
My name. So same as Untapped, Kirsten Krupps, Kirsten Krupps for basically everything.
Excellent. All right. Well, I would like to thank you guys for joining me here at DL Studios and drinking some ciders on a Sunday afternoon. You know, there's football games going on. There's other things that we could be doing, but it's always nice to get together with people and share some adult beverages. So,
thank you, man. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it very much.
All right. Well, this is The Voice saying until next time, may your music be loud and your beers be cold. We'll see you in a week.
This has been a Fakakta Comedy Funhouse production, produced by Dustin Wyckoff, executive produced by Blake Clayton. For more information and content, go to fcfnetwork.com.